KSWB Radio, 99.9 FM, 810 AM. Good morning. How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for being with us. We want to welcome to the program Reverend Andrew Black with First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Hey, thank you for being here, Andrew. I've known you for quite some time and appreciate the opportunity to be able to visit with you. I know that as minister there at First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe, you are hosting a vaccine and booster clinic on January 17th and 31st from 12 to 4 there at the church. So again, the vaccine and booster clinic, January 17th and 31st from 12 to 4 at the church. We'll be talking about that in just a few short moments. But this is our first opportunity to talk, Andrew, and want to ask you a little bit about sharing who you are with our listening family, and then we'll talk about the church.
It's always good to be here, and it's, again, an honor and a pleasure. So I was born and raised here in Santa Fe, grew up here, and, went off to school in Florida, college in Florida, and I was a religious studies and political science major there, and then ended up kind of taking that to the next level and went to law school and seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. So I've got a law degree and also a Presbyterian minister, ordained Presbyterian minister. Most of my work has been around kind of social justice, civil rights issues, worked with legal aid, representing people, those who are in poverty, people with HIV and AIDS, domestic violence issues, but also worked a lot with Senator Heinrich and Senator Bingaman, covering various issues of public policy for them. So health, education, poverty, veterans, immigration issues with both those senators, which, I'm so grateful for just to have that opportunity for public service. So spent a good amount of time working in the U.S. Senate as a staff member. And also, did some really amazing stuff internationally. Had a chance to go over to South Africa and study with people like Archbishop Desmond Tutu and look at what truth and reconciliation means to the United States in terms of race, poverty, and AIDS issues. So have had all those opportunities, and then also have a little background in environmental law and policy. And so most recently, worked with the National Wildlife Federation as the Public Lands Field Director for the National Wildlife Federation, and had a chance to meet with Mike Michaels and talk a little bit about, as the Great Outdoors program numerous times. Myself and Jeremy Romero have kind of been on that show talking about wildlife corridors and the Rio Grande Alerta National Monument and all kinds of things like that. So, still work for the National Wildlife Federation as the Public Lands Field Director, but also serve as a pastor at First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe, and founded an organization called Earthkeepers 360, which is an organization focused on getting spiritual leaders and faith communities more involved in conservation issues. And that ranges from public lands to climate to, wildlife issues. So, I work literally all over the country, both as the National Wildlife Federation side of things, but also with Earthkeepers 360. So it's been really cool. I've been working with pastors in Georgia to try to protect the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, working with pastors in Florida to protect a kind of a county park preserve area. And also, of course, work here in the Southwest and work with, priests and rabbis and nuns and, all kinds of folks that want to make a difference on protecting, creation and be good stewards of God's creation. So it's really been a cool organization to kind of get up and going. We've got a lot of people all over the country that are interested in working with us, and it's just been really great to support and encourage them and help resource them with good knowledge and information about how they can make a difference. So that's what Earthkeepers 360 is about. We have a website, www.earth-keepers, .org, and folks can check out more of our work there. So, and we also are on Facebook and Instagram. But yeah, it's been good work.
Andrew, tell us a little bit about First Presbyterian Church here in Santa Fe.
Yeah, so it's actually the oldest Protestant church in both New Mexico and Arizona. It's right downtown, as you all know, probably right off, right by the convention center, right kind of right there off of Griffin Street. It's a great congregation. We've got a lot of stuff going on where we're involved in a wide variety of issues of social justice. We're sponsoring an Afghan refugee family right now that just actually relocated here to Santa Fe. It's one of the first ones here in New Mexico. But we're also engaged in a lot of other issues, including getting vaccinated vaccines out to the community and kind of being a good spokesperson of public health, but also, you know, working on issues of conservation and, you know, working to protect places like the Caja del Rio, which is just south of Santa Fe and is an incredible cultural heritage area. So our congregation isn't just within the four walls of the church building, but is really out there in the community trying to make a difference and I think be a good witness to Christ in that way. You know, I really enjoy the balance of both the spirituality of the congregation and just the opportunities to engage in things like Celtic worship services on Wednesday night. And of course, we have our Sunday services, but also, you know, the opportunity to take, you know, what we grow in spiritually and move forward in terms of what that means in the world in terms of our broader mission.
Well, we're visiting with Andrew Black with First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe. We're going to take a quick break. I want to use this break as an opportunity for our listening audience to let folks know to tune in. Call a friend, call someone, and say, hey, tune in. They're going to be talking about the vaccination clinic there at First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe. And also want to talk to you about, what you're doing and why you're doing it. So we're going to talk about all that when we come back in just a moment.
The state of New Mexico is looking to quickly hire for entry-level to upper management positions. Qualified applicants will be interviewed by the hiring state agency on site and find out about a job offer shortly thereafter. On January 13th, interviews will be conducted with the Department of Taxation and Revenue and with Regulations and Licensing. And then on January 14th, interviews will be conducted with Information Technology. Bring multiple copies of your up-to-date resume, 3 professional references, a copy of unofficial transcripts for the highest level of education achieved, and proof of right to work in the U.S. And make sure and dress for success. The Rapid Hire event will take place at the Willie Ortiz Building in Santa Fe, located at 2600 Cerrillos Road, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. each day. This event adheres to COVID-safe practices with masks and physical distancing required. For more information, go to the state personnel website at spo.state.nm.us.
KSWV Radio, 99.9 FM, 810 AM, and we're back with Andrew Black, First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe. Thank you, Andrew, for being here.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe, tell us, you're hosting a vaccine and booster clinic. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so the vaccine and booster clinics, we've got 2 coming up. One is on Monday, January 17th, so this Monday from 12 to 4 at our church, First Presbyterian Church right there by the convention center downtown. We already have 170 people signed up. We are also allowing some walk-ups, and there's 10 people right now that are getting vaccines for the very first time. So, you know, we've got an incredible amount of people that are interested in this. I think obviously with the spread of Omicron and closing of schools, you know, more and more people are really taking this seriously, you know, seeing the importance of getting boosted and vaccinated and kind of what that does to obviously reduce serious illness. You know, we're also helping a lot of elderly. I mean, we've got some 90-year-olds that are signed up. You know, the last clinic that we did on December 27th, we had a 100-year-old show up and get her booster shot. So youth are eligible as well. Youth 5 to 12 are eligible, or youth 5 to 18 are eligible with the parents' permission. And those who are 12 and older that are eligible for their booster can also get their booster shot at the church. So, you know, we really think it's important that the church continues to be a trusted resource for the community and tries to give back to the broader community and do what we can to really put an end to this pandemic and end the needless suffering that's going on out there. So those are about the event.
You know, Andrew, this is the first vaccine clinic that I heard of from a church. I'm not saying that you're the first out there, but I'm saying it's the first I've heard of in our community. I know you sent a link to me that there are other churches that have done some vaccine clinics, but by and large, this is a first for me, and I just wanted to ask you, you know, why the church chose to do this. I know you touched up on that just moments ago, but
sure.
Tell us, give us a little bit more meat and potatoes as to why the church felt like, hey, we need to get in on this and help.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. So, you know, the fact is, you know, we have over 5.5 million people who have died worldwide as related to COVID-19. I mean, nearly 850,000 Americans and over 6,000 New Mexicans. You know, but I always remind people, Esteban, that COVID is not just about the facts. It's about the faces. It's not just about the statistics, but about the stories, and not just about the percentages, but about the people. You know, people who are called mom and dad, son and daughter, friend, neighbor, pastor, priest, elder, deacon, and ultimately beloved child of God. You know, and if we listen to the story of COVID, it tells us a story about ourselves, about the kind of world and nation we live in, about oppression and injustice, and about our values, and fundamentally about how we treat one another. And so I think the hope of this event is not only to get as many people vaccinated and boosted as possible, and to ensure that our communities and families are safe, and that we really end the suffering that's going on within our broader state and community. And as you know, the numbers are really tragic in terms of what's not only going on in this county right now, but also, of course, what's going on statewide. But our other, you know, hope is to be a witness. You know, no one puts a lamp under a bushel basket, so to speak, and to be a witness to other faith communities, to encourage them to say, hey, you all can make a difference. Help join us in these efforts. Let's work collaboratively together. Let's help end this pandemic. Let's stop these variants that are just continuing to get worse and worse and more difficult to deal with. You know, and I think as people of Christ and followers of Christ, you know, we have a duty to love our neighbors, and we have a duty to try to help end this terrible pandemic and stop the senseless suffering and injustice. You know, I always talk about that the church needs to be more part of the problem than the solution, and that we really need to be the headlights guiding society towards compassion and justice and thoughtfulness, not the taillights merely following along. And so I think this is an opportunity for the churches to lead and for faith communities to lead and to be a thoughtful spokesperson on, you know, what we're seeing out in the world. And, you know, quite frankly, we, you know, we're called to speak truth and to speak truth in love. And the fact is that, you know, I've seen firsthand, you know, working with hospital workers, you know, that are in tears, broken down, beaten down by their job every day, you know, that are seeing people whose, you know, oxygen levels are dropping down to 35%, 70%, super sick, you know, leaving family behind. And that's just the healthcare workers. We have many of those in our church. They're seeing firsthand the reality of what's going on behind the doors. But also, you know, folks are losing family members, and just this sense of need, you know, for compassion. I've seen firsthand the reality of what this pandemic has done. You know, my daughter was diagnosed with COVID a week into her life. She stopped breathing. She was in the neonatal intensive care unit. You know, she was hooked up to all kinds of machines, and I was there watching as other parents who were literally quarantined in the room with their children for 10 days, could not leave, had a choice of either leaving the hospital because they were COVID positive and not coming back to see their child, or being quarantined with them. And watching as these other parents, you know, young Hispanic mother, 27 years old, you know, staying there with her 3-year-old daughter who's on a ventilator, and just feeling like she was literally quarantined from the world with no love and support, you know, couldn't come in and out of the hospital, and just watching as she was praying over her daughter that, you know, that her daughter stayed alive. We were fortunate in the sense that, you know, ultimately, you know, our daughter was, you know, saved and protected, and, you know, ended up ultimately testing negative. And it was a false kind of positive that happened. But we spent 4 days in that unit and had to be in full PPE gear, and we couldn't pick her up. And I just saw firsthand what parents are going through, what's happening with their children, what's happening with hospital workers. And, you know, if you can avoid and help others avoid that suffering, then why not do it? And I think that's one of the duties our church has to have, is that we have an opportunity to relieve healthcare workers. We have an opportunity to relieve parents that whose children can't get vaccinated. We have an opportunity to relieve, you know, parents who are taking care of elderly parents. And trying to take care of children too. And those elderly parents may get really, really sick, and then they're spread super thin. So, you know, I just see that our church has a duty to love our neighbors and to really put that into action in the world. And this is one way of doing it. And if we can, you know, relieve some sense of suffering, if we can keep somebody from being hospitalized, you know, God forbid, if we can keep somebody from passing away, then why not do it? And take that chance. And, you know, we encourage others to join us in that. I mean, obviously, we have 170 people signed up already, and we still have a couple days before the event. We had 160 turn out to our first event. So, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few, so to speak, and we could use some more laborers. And so we would just appreciate, you know, the help of other faith communities and spiritual leaders kind of, you know, working, you know, alongside the Department of Health and alongside us to get these clinics going, because, you know, the need is real. The tragedy is incredibly real. And like I've seen firsthand, you know, the toll it takes on families and people. And, you know, I always just think of that mother that was next to us, and how desperate and how alone and literally isolated from the world she felt as her daughter was dying. And I think if anybody had seen what I'd seen, they would, you know, Esteban, this is not something noble we're doing. This is something necessary we're doing, because I think if they had seen what I'd seen, they wouldn't question why we're doing what we're doing.
Well, First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe is the first church I know that is hosting vaccine and booster clinics. I know you sent me a link of churches and other faith communities that want to host an event. And I appreciate that. And we'll share that on our social media outlets, as well as a link to this interview after our interview here. But I wanted to ask you about how I've talked with people that are have a lot of faith. They have a lot of faith in God. They firmly plant their belief in Jesus Christ, and at the same time, maybe there is a distrust in the vaccine. And so I think that there's people that are trying to reconcile and struggling with that personal conflict inside. Hey, you know, I don't necessarily trust the vaccine. I may not trust the government. There's a number of things I may not trust. And I'm struggling with this situation. And I'm not quite sure if I get the vaccine, if that means I'm, you know, turning, you know, my back to God, or there's all sorts of different conflicts that one has that I've been privy to people sharing with me. And I'm just wondering how, if I'm sure you've heard some of the conflict that I've been describing, and, you know, what do you say to that? How do you address that?
Yeah. So, you know, Esteban, it reminds me a little bit of the story of the man who experiences a massive flood and, you know, in the face of evacuation orders. You know, the man finds himself on the roof as the flood waters rise, and a rescue boat comes by and asks the man to get in, and he refuses, saying, "God will save me." You know, the water rises even higher, and a helicopter eventually comes by trying to save the man. And he says, you know, "I'm good. God will save me." Eventually, his house is underwater and he drowns. And as he gets up to heaven, he says to God, "You know, God, why didn't you save me?" And God says, "Well, I sent an evacuation order. I sent a boat and I sent a helicopter. You know, what else do you expect me to do to save you?" And it reminds me of that kind of line, you know, that you see with Jesus, you know, being challenged by Satan as he's, you know, put on the pinnacle of the temple. And he says, you know, "Throw yourself down and God's, you know, angels will save you." And of course, Jesus's response is, "Thou shalt not put your God, Lord God, to the test," right? That even the Messiah himself, you know, kind of questioned, you know, being the need to be very, very careful and to not put God to the test in these matters of faith. But I think more so, Esteban, it really reminds me of a story that's probably very common to us, but I think needs to be, you know, recovered in the Christian faith in particular, is the story out of Luke 10, when Jesus kind of talks about the man who is brutally assaulted and beaten and laying there on the side of the road, right? And of course, who comes by? The first person that comes by is a priest who sees the man, and he decides to cross over to the other side of the road and doesn't help him. The next person who comes by is a Levite, you know, a religious kind of elite, who sees the man laying there on the side of the road dying and does nothing to help him and walks to the other side. And then the third person who comes by is a Samaritan, right? Somebody who's outside the culture, probably not very well trusted, you know, historically may not be considered a neighbor, but even an enemy. And the Samaritan sees the man on the side of the road laying there dying, and he does what? He stops and he helps and he bandages up his wound and he throws him on his donkey and he takes him to an inn. And Jesus tells this story, you know, because he reminds the folks that are asking about not only who is your neighbor, but what is your neighborly duty? And so, you know, when it comes to the point of this story is that, you know, life-saving help sometimes comes from the most unlikely places, unlikely people, and unlikely ways. And it can come in ways that you don't always expect it. And one of the reasons that Jesus tells this story is that, you know, it requires us to be open. It requires us to be open about how that help may come in the form of a vaccine, how it may come in the form of mask wearing, how it may come in the form of social distancing, how it may come from other people that you may not expect, you know, them to be your allies or your friends. Or in Jesus's case, you know, the neighbor who showed love and exhibited the greatest commands of God. So, you know, I think about, you know, as we're all on this road of life, who are those that are beat up? You know, it's our healthcare workers, children who can't get vaccinated, the elderly who may get incredibly sick, those with underlying condition. All those folks are laying there currently on the side of the road. And so, you know, what is our duty in terms of standing there to help? And what does that look like? And can we make a difference? And that means sacrifice. I mean, let's be very honest. The Good Samaritan story is not just one of, you know, noble helping, but there's sacrifice. I mean, he literally has to go out of his way. He spends his own money on this innkeeper. He, you know, puts himself at danger, not knowing if this man's going to hurt him or if it's a trap. And so, you know, and this man teaches him a good deal about the road of life. And that's one of the beauties of serving and helping people, is that the Good Samaritan not only did a great job to help this man and did a lot of personal sacrifice to help this man, and, you know, who's in great need and very vulnerable. But this man also taught him a lot about the road of life and the ability to kind of transcend boundaries and help others that maybe you don't expect help from. And that's really, I think, the common good that the Christian faith, you know, really is about. I mean, the prophet Jeremiah talks about, you know, bringing good to the community in the face of the city, and this idea of kind of the bigger common good. And so that's one of the things I would say is that, you know, here we are on the precipice of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And one of my favorite quotes from Martin Luther King Jr. is, "Nothing pains a person more than hard critical thinking." I think we have to look at these scriptures. We have to look at our Christian faith. We have to look at our Christian ethics and think about what is that hard critical thinking we need to do, and how can we help those people who are laying there on the side of the road, literally dying in the hospital, hurting their family members. And, you know, one of the things I always say to folks, Esteban, is that, yes, our body is our temple. But part of that temple is an incredible brain that God has given us, the ability to rationally think, the real ability to have common sense, the ability to engage in that hard critical thinking that folks like Martin Luther King Jr. challenge us to do, and to understand ourselves in the sense of a bigger beloved community or the kingdom of God.
You know, we're visiting with Andrew Black, First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe, having their vaccine and booster clinics on January 17th and 31st from 12 to 4 there at the church. You know, Andrew, I'm thinking that this is a very passionate issue. The vaccine has been made available for a long time now, and there are folks that are still deciding if they're going to get it. We understand it's a very personal issue. We understand that it's an issue that can get very filled with emotion when people are talking about it. There could be a lot of anger, maybe resentment, tough conversations that people have when they're talking about this issue. And I think listening to you, I think tells me coming at it from a place of love and having the conversation based on love for one another is what I'm hearing you say this is coming from.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if there's one thing I hope to be known for as a faith leader, it's just exactly that word. I mean, I believe that, you know, and in line with someone like Martin Luther King, I believe that love is the most powerful and transformative force in the universe. And I think you're exactly right. I mean, there's no point in arguing and trying to beat people over the head with, you know, all the information or misinformation or whatnot. But I think fundamentally for me, it comes to how can I love my community? How can I make sure kids are safe? How can I make sure their grandmother is safe? And what can I do? And it may take a more personal sacrifice, but how can I be willing to make that sacrifice? And I understand the importance of the individual decision making, and I get where you're coming from. But I think it caught, you know, Jacob wrestled with God overnight, right? Ended up with a busted hip. We have a faith that requires us to wrestle with these things, you know, to wrestle with challenging issues, to not let go, right? And Jacob wouldn't let go until you bless. You know, he says, not until you bless me, right? To become transformed into Israel. You know, that we also have to be open. We have to be willing to not let go and wrestle with these hard issues, that we have to be willing to be transformed into a new identity even. And that's okay. And that can be scary. And that's part of why prayer and kind of community are really, really important. But I think you nailed it on the head, that fundamentally it comes down to love. And, you know, our society, if it needs anything, as you know, needs that sense of working with love, you know, and that sense of coming together in love. And I think often we forget that, and we're so much more interested in being right than we are in being loving. And at the end of the day, I would question, you know, which one is going to get you to where you need to be. And so, you know, I think that that's the thing for me, is that if I have an opportunity to keep, you know, that mother out of the hospital that I saw, or to keep her daughter out of the hospital, then I'll do it. And it may take great sacrifice. But, you know, like I said, seeing what I've seen from our healthcare workers, watching them break down, watching them considering leaving their profession, watching them just so hurt by what they're seeing on a day-to-day level and the toll it's taking on them, and having to tell families that they've lost their dad or their mom, is just brutal. And so, I think, one of my favorite lines from the Psalms is, "Surely mercy and goodness shall follow me all the rest of my days." You know, how do we show mercy? How do we show love? How do we show a sense of goodness in this world? And I think we can do that, and you can have disagreements, but you can do that in a way that respects the dignity of differences of people and still love them as a child of God.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. Be back with more in just a moment.
COVID is surging. Hospitals are full. People are really sick. Get tested. Get vaccinated. Get boosted. Please help our healthcare workers. VaccineNM.org.
VaccineNM.org. You can sign up today. Andrew, First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe, having their vaccine and booster clinics on January 17th and 31st. We just heard that ad from the Department of Health talking about our hospital workers. Andrew, you have talked about your experience with that. As we come to a closing here, Andrew, what are some of the remaining thoughts that you want to share with our listening audience out there? I'm so thankful that you're here to share with us. What are some of the things that you want to end with before we finish this morning?
Yeah, I think I would say be vigilant, be smart. You know, don't turn your back on this virus. It's crafty. It's evolving. We're seeing that. I mean, Omicron has over 50 different kind of evolutionary things that are different than the previous forms of Delta and of course, the original virus. And so I would say, be vigilant, wear a mask, be smart, be socially distant, get vaccinated. And don't let your guard down. I think there's an opportunity here for us to really, make it. There's no reason this pandemic needs to stay around forever. Right. And I think that's the decision that's in our hands. And I think fundamentally, if we're willing to sacrifice, change things up a little bit in terms of our approach to life, then we can get back to the life that we really want to live. And we can get our kids back to school. We can get, our employment situation in a much better place. We can help people from being as burned out. But I think that's going to take a mindfulness on our part and a prayerfulness on our part. And I think that's what I would encourage to folks, is just to be smart, to wear your mask, to protect the family and the children around you, but also to protect your neighbor's children and their elderly and their grandparents. So you have a chance to make a difference. And I would just encourage you to exercise that. And I understand that that's sometimes frustrating and annoying, but at the same time, you can also potentially save a life. And what better thing can any person do than that?
We're visiting with Andrew Black, First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe, vaccine booster clinics on January 17th and 31st. Andrew, I know that you have you're someone that's incredibly busy. I know you talk to a lot of media outlets, and as we conclude here, I'm not sure if we'll be the first media outlet to ask you to do this, but if you could just take a few moments and lift up our community in prayer and ask for you to say a prayer for our community, would you mind doing that?
I would be honored. Loving God, we give you great thanks for this opportunity to witness to you and to your truth and to your love and to your light. We pray for all of those who are listening, and we are reminded that you are a God who is a great listener, a God with a loving heart, a sense of deep compassion, and who cares for all of your children. And I just ask that you watch over all of your children, all of those who are listening, that your spirit be among them and with them. And you watch over them this day, watch over their families. Protect them, love them, and let them know that you call each one by name, that they are loved, they are forgiven, and help them to remember who they are and whose they are. In your son's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate our time here on the radio today. And we wish First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe well in its efforts to serve our community. January 17th and 31st, folks, from 12 to 4 at the church. Andrew, we'd love to invite you to come back anytime, talk about how it went, maybe share some more as maybe come on again before the 31st if you have some time. Love to have you.
I'd be honored, and thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to pray. It's our world always needs more of that.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. All right. This is KSWV Radio, 99.9 FM and 810 AM. Good morning.